Hey, it's me, Richie T, and this is really cool. Just being able to visit off the mic with some of the guys from KGL, but now you guys get to hear what we've been talking about. It's Titch and Brad and Matt and Lincoln.
Hello.
Hey.
All the guys at Cage the Elephant, you guys are here playing tonight.
Yes.
And about to do a big acoustic performance for us. And I got to hear a little bit of the sound check. It's awesome.
Thank you so much.
I want to talk about... I was interested to find that Sleeper Agent, also from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about hometown for a second. Is that cool?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Are you guys all...
We don't like to talk about our hometown.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's dark shadows from the past.
We abandoned where we were from.
That place just drags us down.
No, I'm
joking. But you're all from Bowling Green?
Yes. Yeah.
So how did it get to be that you guys all got together? School or...
We all went to high school together. And
well, same high school.
Same high school.
Yeah. We knew Daniel from when we were kids, and then Lincoln, actually back when MySpace was still the thing.
Yeah.
He would hit us up on MySpace and be like, can I come jam with your band sometime? And actually, we saw him at a restaurant and invited him to come out, and it was a perfect fit. Which is, he was only 15 years old when that happened. And like 6 months after that, we moved to England, and... His parents had to sign over legal guardianship to us. So, like, we were his legal guardians while he was in
We were perfect examples.
What a super sketchy situation.
See, I had Brad as a dad before he even had his daughter.
And exactly. And I was the mother. Yeah. I'm like, oh, has your father been mean to you? Come on, come here.
Get over here, boy. You're going to get another whipping.
Suckle my bosom. There. What a weird setup. You're this 15-year-old kid trying to hit him up on MySpace, and then, hey, Mom and Dad, I need you to sign this permission slip that says I can move to the UK with this band that I found on MySpace.
My mom had to drop me off at the first tryout or rehearsal or whatever you want to call it. And
it's like the
I didn't even have my license or permit or anything, and she drops me off, and like Jared's dad was out in the driveway, and you know, here I was like getting my amp out and stuff, and she's like, oh, y'all are just going to love him.
Yeah. I just know he's going to be the perfect fit.
My face turned like beet red, and I was like, oh, God.
It was like something out of Almost Famous.
Yeah. It totally was.
Don't do drugs. Remember the family call, the whistle. Yeah. Remember the whistle.
So it was just an instantaneous thing?
It was perfect, yeah.
What about it?
I think we wrote it. It's just everything.
Same thing with Daniel.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've all been blessed to be in each other's lives musically and not
and
musically.
Friendship-wise as well.
But how did it come? So who was the very first one? Who was like, I'm setting out to start a band and then grabbed another person?
That's not really clear. I don't think it's clear. who originally.
Well, Matt, Brad, and Jared had a band before.
In high school.
We were called Perfect Confusion.
The most high school band name you could have.
We were trying to like come up with a trippy name. We wrote down a list of names. We passed it around our class and had our friends vote on the most psychedelic sounding name.
I would say y'all are still pretty perfectly confused.
Yeah, possibly.
Was it a similar kind of sound in Perfect Confusion or just?
It was way more hippie.
Yeah.
We were really trying to be hippie back then. Yeah. We're saving the world and all that stuff.
Look, yeah, I got an hemp necklace. Look at my hemp necklace. I'm saving the world.
Politically based song.
Political incorrectness.
And so then you get him and then you go across to the United Kingdom. What was the choice with that?
Well, can't leave out Daniel's introduction.
Okay,
to the band.
Well, Daniel, let's talk about it. See, he told me his name is Titch, and now I'm getting it.
Well, it's Titch. Yeah, it is. We do call him Titch.
See,
Titch
either way.
He was a guitar player, and he'd never played bass before, and had been hanging around. And one day, he just shows up to the rehearsal place after our bass player quit with a bass amp and a bass guitar, and was like, "Can I join your band?"
Yeah, but I've known these guys for quite a while. So
actually, he had a chance to be in our band in high school, and he was too cool at the time.
He turned his
Mr. Senior.
So I do not remember this, but
I first got in the band, Titchener was like, "I'm not going to be in a band with a 15-year-old."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He changed his ways then.
Yeah, the more he started playing, then it was all good after that.
It's like it's all forgotten. The age is just gone. It's like. Dude, play.
Just this play. This kid has the heart of a 29-year-old.
Yeah.
What is the age span from you guys in the band?
I'm 29.
Okay.
It's 30.
33.
33. 23. Okay,
it's so a pretty big gap there.
Yeah, for sure. You're and like, hey, do you guys remember? And he's like, I've never even heard of that band ever.
Yeah, yeah, it freaked me out the first time Lincoln told me what year he was born in. It was like 1990. I was like, what?
Wait, huh?
In the 90s? I remember when like 1990 Fleer baseball cards came out.
I know, and we're like, the finish is so glossy. These are so futuristic.
Is back to the original question. So is Bowling Green, Kentucky, like this secret music town?
I think there's musicians.
I think there's good music happening everywhere. We champion it because we're from there and we're able to
there's
like.
There's always see been a lot. Some great people like out of Bowling Green, like Foster and Lloyd and
Sam Bush.
Really like good, like maybe not like most popular musicians, but you know, like on a global like thing, but like really like well respected in you know the community and stuff.
Wait, why
Kentucky,
do you
My Morning Jacket's from Kentucky too?
Yeah, why do you think that is though? Because like when I think of music towns, I mean obviously everyone comes from LA, but doesn't really come from LA. But then you hear like you know your Nashville bands and stuff like that.
I think when you're in a small town, there's not much else to do, you know.
Yeah.
So it's either play music or.
Yeah, we went to Nashville though.
Yeah,
you
we
know,
yeah,
it's
totally.
Hard to,
you tried that route?
Oh yeah, that's how that's how it happened. We would go to Nashville and play shows every weekend, and I ended up signing a production deal, and then moved to England to pursue it.
Why England though? That seems different to me.
It just seemed like this rock and roll utopia across the seas that was like
we were
the
like
perfect
kids.
I mean, all of our heroes had freaking started out there, like Jimi Hendrix. You hear the story of him going over and being in someone's flat and just playing guitar 2 o'clock in the morning. Everyone woke up and it was the beginning of this new revolution. So we were like, let's go over there and do that.
Permission slip signed. Let's go. Yay.
Going back to the Bowling Green thing, I think there's a lot of great music there, but there's a lot of great music everywhere.
Sure.
Nashville has some really great stuff happening right now. Like, Fly Golden Eagle, Clear Plastic Masks, Plastic Visions, Bad Cop, Ranch Ghost,
Western Medication.
So these are all bands people should be looking up because
totally. These are great bands, amazing.
Chrome Pony. Yeah, they're really good too.
Does it seem like when I've been to Nashville one time and I just feel like I'm surrounded by just creative awesomeness. Like I would think there would just be like this huge jam session. You go into some bar in Nashville and you're like, hey, dude, from this really famous band, I'm going to play because these guys aren't here. You want to join me? Sure. Yeah, you know, it's some other famous guy from another band and it's just awesome music.
I think there is really a huge sense of community there, like more so now than there has been in a long time. For sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you get to the United Kingdom. It goes pretty well.
Yeah.
Takes a little while.
Not at first.
It took about a year to.
Yeah, we sat around our flat for like 6 months. We'd go out on little like 3 or 4 day stints and then come back to our flat and be stuck there for a week. Mm-hmm. It was really weird. Like they put us on the outskirts of London so that we wouldn't get into too much trouble.
So we brought the trouble to us.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We do a lot of things I'm not proud of while we were there. Yeah.
So what was the thing? What was the thing where it was like, hey, guys, this is moving now?
It happened live for us in England more than anything. Like here we had a really great initial response from radio and different things like that. But in England, it really came through live shows. We just jumped on a bunch of tours, and we toured pretty solid for like 2 years. And the shows just started to grow more and more. And so... that's kind of how it built up over there.
And then just tremendous amount of success here in the States. And, you know, I think that I couldn't count on everyone's here's hands how many times in a day it felt like I heard Ain't No Rest for the Wicked, you know. And it's a great
that was a
song.
Huge surprise to us.
Yeah,
too.
Totally. Because we had, like I said, we'd just come from England where the radio didn't really accept us that much. Yeah, we were kind of like the kids on the outside of the glass house, like Oliver Twist, like, please, sir, can
I
we
remember,
come in by the fire?
All the other kids are in there having fun and dancing, like, yeah, baby, it's warm in here.
I remember before the record came out in the States, saying, and we were sitting on our bus in England, I was like, I just don't think it's going to do anything in the States, guys. Like, it didn't do anything over here. I was
totally.
Like, I just don't know.
Well, because in England, it was all, at the time, if you weren't in like an angular guitar kind of dancey new wave band, you weren't you weren't in the in crowd, and so there were very few punk bands that were over there, which we managed to make friends with a couple of them, which was really great to have some friends over there. But
we actually tried to convince our management and our label to let us just skip the first album in the States and go straight to our second album.
Yeah, totally.
They were like, trust us.
Put this
record
out. Yeah, we didn't want to release it. But it was so weird because over there it was like rock and roll and punk rock were like on the decline and so uncool, and then we came back over here and it just was like this explosion, and then now you see it teetering back over there where there's a lot of rock bands and punk music and stuff coming back up again.
So I always think it's so funny to hear the difference between the music there and the music here, because you know, to like your family and friends, you're like, yeah, no, people here really love us, and they're like, haven't heard you on the radio. Nope.
Yeah,
don't know who you get. Sure you guys are, I bet. And then you come back here and it's like, wow.
Well, the cool thing though while we were in England was to see a lot of those like garage punk rock and roll bands like getting very little recognition, and then to see it climb up over a period of time was really cool. Like some of our friends like Let's Wrestle and other bands starting to build over time. It was a really cool thing to see.
Well, cool. I'm getting the signal that I need to wrap it up with you guys, but going to do an acoustic performance. You're touring with Muse for how long is that thing going?
This is the last night.
Tonight is the last? And then what? What's going on?
And then we're going to catch ourselves on fire.
And disappear.
Yeah, forever. This is our last performance.
Is it taking a little break, or is it working on new music, or what's the deal?
Well, we have a new record coming out October 8th, Melophobia.
Yeah. I was going to say Melophobia. I'm glad you said it first.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was like, I'm not sure.
That comes out October 8th, and from here on through the holidays, we'll probably be doing spot gigs and promo and stuff like that. But as soon as the new year kicks in, we'll be doing headline tours and hopefully staying busy for a while.
I hope you guys will come back and see us.
Yeah.
Sure.
Thanks for taking some time. Check them out. I can't imagine at all that you've never heard of them, so... go check it out. Come see the show tonight. Cage the Elephant. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Shake me down. Not a lot of people left around.